Your conference is being recorded.
Good evening to our conference call participants from the U.S., and good morning to our call participants in Asia. This is the conference call for the third quarter results of Del Monte Pacific Group, or DMPL, ending January 2019. Representing Del Monte in this call are Cito Alejandro, Group Chief Operating Officer of DMPL, Parag Sachdeva, Group CFO of DMPL, Greg Longstreet, CEO of Del Monte Food, or DMFI, Gene Allen, CFO of DMFI, and this is Iggy Tison, Chief Corporate Officer of DMPL. Before we start our conference call, may we request everyone to please mute his or her phone. Parag Sachdeva will now present our third quarter results, beginning on slide 5.
Thank you very much, Iggy. On slide 5, we'll start with the highlights of third quarter and year-to-date F19 results. Net income of $2.6 million for third quarter, from a net loss of $38.4 million in prior year period, and a net income of $14 million for year-to-date month 9 is a turnaround from the $40.4 million loss last year. Third quarter sales of $529 million, lower than prior year quarter, mainly due to lower sales in the U.S., excluding the divested Sager Creek business, and also deprioritizing non-profitable businesses in line with our strategy. We improved the gearing to 2.5 times equity from 2.7 times in prior year period. On to slide 6 on the outlook. The group is expected to be profitable for FY19, barring unforeseen circumstances. Major emphasis on responding to consumer trends continues through strengthening the core and innovating, particularly outside the can. And secondly, focusing on growing our branded business. Improving financial performance continues to be a big focus through review of manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S. to improve operational efficiency, further reduce costs, and increase margins. Improving cash flow, strengthening balance sheet, and reducing leverage and interest expense continue to be a priority for us. Slide 7, third quarter group results summary. Sales of $528.7 reflect a minus 11.8% decline. U.S. sales lower by 14.5%. If we strip out Sager Creek, DMFI sales would have been lower by 6.8%. Philippines is lower by 6.1% in local currency, but 9.8% lower in U.S. dollar terms. Our S&W brand in Asia surged by 18.6%, mainly due to higher sales of fresh. Our JV in India has grown at 8% in local currency, driven by growth of Del Monte branded business. EBITDA of $40.6 million, down 13% from $46.4 million due to lower sales in the U.S., lower exports of processed pineapple products, significantly reduced prices of pine juice concentrate and higher product costs that were partly offset by price increase in the Philippines and lower trade spend in the U.S. Operating profit of US$25.1 million, down 10% from US$28 million. Net profit of US$3 million, down 11% from net profit of US$3.4 million. The change in U.S. tax rate to 21% from 35% has a negative impact of US$1.8 million. Just to remind you, all of the above profitability numbers are without one-off costs and are versus last year. Additionally, in line with our strategy, we have also successfully lowered our inventory in the U.S. and reduced the same by $160 million versus the same period last year. Now I'll draw your attention to slide 8. Which provides an overview of non-recurring expenses. In the third quarter, we had minimal one-off costs amounting to US$0.7 million impact on a pre-tax basis. US$1.4 million was incurred in severance, mainly in the back office area as we optimize our resources. Last year, included non-recurring costs from divestiture of Sager Creek business and closure of two plants in Indiana and Arkansas, as well as write-off of deferred tax asset as DMFI due to the change in federal income tax rate from 35% to 21%. Moving on to slide nine would cover the Q3 results in more detail. Third quarter sales at $528.7 million reflects a decline of 11.8% due to the divested Sager business and lower U.S. sales. Excluding Sager, sales are down 6%. Will be explained more in the turnover analysis on the next slide. Gross margin at 21.9% is higher by 170 basis points on an organic basis, led by price increase in Philippines market, lower trade spend in the U.S., exit from low-margin Sager Creek business, which was all these things more than offset unfavorable impact from lower pine juice concentrate pricing, higher costs of tin plate across Asia and the U.S., sugar tax in Philippines, lower yield and recoveries in the U.S., as well as under absorption of overheads due to reduced pack in the U.S. EBITDA of US$40.6 million and operating profit of 25.1 million lower versus last year by 30 and 10% respectively on a recurring basis, and that was mainly due to lower gross profit. On a reported basis, EBITDA and operating income are up by 13 and 45% respectively. Our financing cost is lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings, but it was offset by increased cost of borrowing both in the U.S. and in Asia, as well as higher foreign exchange loss due to appreciation of U.S. dollar versus peso in the third quarter. BMPL's share in the Field Fresh joint venture in India was break-even and slightly lower than last year due to increase in cost of commodities and devaluation of Indian rupee. Tax cost of US$36.1 million last year included a write-off of $39.8 million for deferred tax asset due to change in federal tax rate from 35 to 21%. Net income for the quarter of $2.6 million, higher versus last year, mainly due to significantly lower restructuring costs, and as mentioned previously, last year included $39.8 million for write-down of deferred tax asset in the U.S. On a recurring basis, we had a net income of $3 million, down $0.4 million versus last year. And just to remind everyone, $1.8 million of the shortfall was contributed by the change in tax rate from 35 to 21%. Our net debt at $1.5 billion, lower by $74 million due to purchase of BMFI's loans at a discount, as well as reduction in the BMFI inventory. Gearing ratio, consequently, at 2.5 times lower, mainly due to decreased borrowing. Slide 10 will take you through the third quarter turnover analysis. Americas constitutes 73% of the group sales, lower by 14.7% in the third quarter, mainly driven by divestiture of Sega business and lower private label sales in retail channel. Lower volume across categories in branded retail was offset by lower promotions and everyday low prices. Our strategic thrust on innovation continued with the successful launch of fruit and oatmeal on-the-go cups. This year, Del Monte Fruit and Oats was voted Product of the Year in the breakfast category in the U.S., backed by votes of 40,000 consumers in a national representative survey conducted by research from Kantar, a global leader in consumer research. Asia-Pacific sales in the third quarter declined by 1.2% to US$138.4 million, from US$140.1 million due to unfavorable sales volume and mix in the Philippines, largely offset by 19% increase in sales of S&W business. Increase in S&W business was driven by sales of fresh pineapples. The Philippine market sales were lower by 6.1% in peso terms and 9.8% in U.S. dollar terms. Continued growth driven by key accounts in food service, offsetting lower sales of mixed fruits and distribution transition issues in general trade that are being addressed. Food service sales, as mentioned, in the Philippines remain strong, riding on the rapid expansion of quick service restaurants. Europe sales decreased by 34.6% on a very small base due to lower volume of beverage and unfavorable pricing as well. Now I'll take you through year-to-date month 9 results on slide 11, starting with a brief summary. Sales of US$1.5 billion lower by 10.4%. U.S. sales lower by 12.6%, and if we take out Sega Creek, DMFI sales are lower by 7.1%. Philippine market sales were down 3.3% in local currency and 7.8% in U.S. dollar terms. S&W in Asia has grown by 5%, double-digit growth in fresh, offset by decline in processed. JV in India increased 2% in U.S. dollar terms and 10% in local currency. EBITDA of US$112.8 million, down 14% from US$131.4 million due to lower sales in the U.S. lower exports of processed pineapple, significantly reduced PJC prices, and higher product costs that were partly offset by price increase in the Philippines and lower trade spend in the U.S. Operating profit of US$64.2 million, down 14% from US$74.7 million. Net profit of US$6.6 million, down 56% from net profit of US$14.9 million. The change in U.S. tax rate to 21% from 35% had a negative impact of US$6.6 million on a year-to-date basis. Again, all of the above profitability numbers are without one-off costs and versus last year. Slide 12 on non-recurring expenses. DMPL, as indicated in the previous quarters, continued with the initiative of buying out second lien loans from third-party lenders in FY19. Pre-tax gain from the purchase of DMFI second lien loan at a discount to par, net of transaction costs, was US$16.3 million. All of this was in Q1. Would again like to remind that following divestiture of Sager in FY18, we had incurred US$13.1 million for write-down of Sager inventory based on estimated net realizable value in Q4 of FY18. However, the actual cost or loss incurred on bulk sale of approximately 2 million cases of Sega products on a year-to-date basis was higher US$6.6 million. All of this again was already booked in Q1. We are left with minimal Sega stocks at this stage. US$3.2 million was incurred in severance costs across several locations as we optimize our resources. Additionally, as stated in the Q2 review, we had gains from the sale of assets that were previously included in restructuring costs. For example, sale of Plymouth plant. Have already covered one-off costs related to last year in Q3 review. Moving on to slide 13, year-to-date month 9 consolidated results on a reported basis. Sales at $1.5 billion, 10.4% lower than last year, mainly from lower U.S. sales and the divestiture of Sager veg business. Excluding Sager, sales are down 6%. Will be explained more in the turnover analysis on the next slide. Gross margin at 17.1%, higher by 140 basis points on an organic basis. Reasons for improvement were already outlined in the Q3 update. EBITDA at $104.9 million is 9.6% plus versus year ago on a reported basis, driven by lower one-off costs in DMFI, profitable growth of fresh pine business, improved gross margins, offset by lower volume in the U.S. and Philippines. Financing cost, lower than last year, mainly due to lower level of borrowings, and includes one-off gains amounting to US$16.3 million from additional purchase of US$99.1 million loans in the U.S. at a discount. DMPL's share in the Field Fresh joint venture in India was favorable at US$0.2 million from a US$0.4 million loss in the prior year period due to improvement in sales and margin. Year ago, just to remind everyone, was impacted by implementation of GST in Q1 of FY18. Moving on to tax, we have a tax credit of US$6.1, which is lower due to reduction in tax rate from 35 to 21%. And as I mentioned in Q3, FY18 does include write-off of non-cash deferred tax asset last year, as explained also in the Q3 results. Net profit at $14 million is a turnaround versus year ago. It does include US$13 million gain on buyback of the MFI loan at a discount, offset by the reduction in U.S. tax rate to 21% from 35%, which had a negative impact of US$6.6 million. Slide 14 refers to turnover analysis for year-to-date month 9. Again, as mentioned in Q3, America constitutes 73.2% of total group sales, lower by 12.6% in year-to-date month 9. Approximately US$1.1 billion, mainly driven by divestiture of Sega business, lower volume across categories, most significantly branded tomatoes, fruits, and private label sales, as well as unfavorable impact of lower PJC pricing in food service and other pine products. Total unfavorable impact of on PJC pricing for the group versus year ago is US$13 million. That includes Asia Pacific as well. Asia Pacific sales in year to date month 9 declined by 3.6% to US$391.4 million from US$405.8 million due to decreased exports of processed pineapple products and unfavorable sales mix in the Philippines. The sales of Del Monte packaged fruit declined in the Philippines, and S&W sales in North Asia and Middle East were also impacted due to increased competition from lower-priced canned fruit from Thailand and Indonesia, partly offset by double-digit growth of fresh pineapple business. The fill market sales were lower 3.3%, in peso terms and 7.8% in U.S. dollar terms. Continued growth did come across in food service, which was obviously more than offset by lower sales of mixed fruits due to excess trade inventory and distributor transition issues in general trade. Europe sales decreased by 6.7%, mainly due to significantly lower pine juice concentrate pricing, partly offset by higher volume of the byproduct. Now, we'll hand over to Greg to share more perspective on the U.S.
Thank you, Frog. The Del Monte Foods U.S. growth strategy is really built around some very clear and focused path forward. We begin by building relevance, differentiating our brands and our products to drive customer and consumer preference. We are investing in building our brands, increasing our communication, improving our taste, health, and wellness benefits, and also improving our packaging options to be more contemporary and in line with consumer trends. We're spending a great deal of focus right now around innovation. We're at the beginning of our innovation goals and our transformation at Del Monte Foods, but we're showing some very good success, which I'll be highlighting in the next few slides. The innovation is really built around the opportunity with our brands in our spaces to address consumer needs, shifts in eating behaviors, and the evolving demographics. We really feel we have the potential within our portfolio and our plant-based products to really stand out amongst the competition with healthy snacking and solutions throughout day part. Expanding distribution is another big area of opportunity for us as we look forward to growth. We believe we have tremendous channels, tremendous opportunities to enter new channels and new aisles within the grocery stores. So we're going to be expanding beyond the center store focus that we've historically had with our canned business and entering the frozen foods department, the perimeter of store and the produce departments, entering convenience stores, and also entering food service in a major way in the coming years. And lastly and importantly is optimizing our organization. We need to really quickly address some of the asset-heavy infrastructure that we have and assets that are not being utilized and they're running at under capacity. We are working on a number of plans to address that, and we'll be making some major steps forward here before the end of our fiscal year to help get our supply chain more in balance. Slide 17 talks about our status with market shares in the U.S. We remain a dominant share leader in the categories that we compete in and have maintained share leadership across canned vegetables, canned fruit, fruit cup snacks, and canned tomato. Innovation continues to help drive our positions in these categories, and we're pleased with the success of our new fruit and oats and our new bone broth products this year. Our business fundamentals remain very strong. We continue to expand our shelf presence, eliminate competition, and really be in a position where we're the leading brand in the markets and in the areas that we compete alongside private label alternatives. We continue to develop food service and e-commerce business. We experienced double-digit e-commerce sales growth driven by retailers' expansion of what we call click and collect and really working with the brick-and-mortar partners that we have, such as Walmart, to help them drive their dot-com business, but have also taken a positive step forward with our Amazon business and the marketing support and the new products that we're distributing through Amazon. As we look forward, continuing to invest in our brands, bringing new products to market and expanding distribution will allow us to maintain the share leadership and grow our share leadership. On slide 18, just a little bit of insight into some of the macro trends in the U.S., what's happening with behavior shifts and how that's affecting innovation. We're seeing a real shift in how consumers are eating. There's much more snacking occurring. Within that snacking occasion, consumers are looking for more quality. They're looking for fresher, healthier, plant-based, healthy product solutions. And then as we look at this consumer that's creating this shift, there's a lot of interest in transparency, sustainability, really being close to the products, knowing where they came from, how they were handled, how they were produced. And at Del Monte, we really have an advantage across these different platforms of macro trends. And they're being used as we develop our innovation pipeline. The next slide, 19, talks about the innovation goals we have. We have some very ambitious plans in terms of becoming a clear leader in plant-based innovation. We're going to be revitalizing current categories with new benefits, new occasions, and new consumers. And a great example would be our fruit cup and our snack cup category, doing a lot of exciting work there to evolve. Extending beyond current categories, this is an example of where these trends in snacking and healthy eating present some opportunities for us. Our new frozen products, our snacking products that are healthy and better for you solutions. Looking at strategic growth channels, we're developing more innovation and new products to address convenience store needs, the club channel consumer, and e-commerce. And then lastly and importantly, we see a lot of potential within food service to really unlock opportunities with operators and end users, and I'll be talking more about that shortly. Slide 20 is a recap. A lot of the highlights that were mentioned earlier by Parag in terms of our Q3 sales performance, where it stands at U.S. $386.2 million. As we discussed, when the Sager Creek business is separated from our performance, DMFI sales were down 6% for the third quarter. Lower volume, really in line with much of our planned activity. We decreased our emphasis on private label bid activity and are taking a number of different shifts and moves within some of our categories like branded tomatoes as we look forward, and we'll return to growth in some of these categories in fiscal 20. The Del Monte fruit and oats product is something that we're quite proud of, winning product of the year in the breakfast category. We've seen a lot of interest in this product. It's exceeded our expectations for distribution growth, consumer trial and awareness, and repeat among consumers. So we're very excited about the potential, and we're adding new products already to this Fruit & Oats platform. As well, as Parag mentioned earlier, our DMFI EBITDA improved versus prior year quarter. And talking about these specific new products and innovation that I've alluded to, there's four innovative new products that we're currently out launching with our customers. We're out presenting these customers nationally in the U.S., to customers nationally in the U.S., and we're focused on four different items specifically at this moment. The first is Del Monte Citrus Bowls. This is a brand new product line for us, grapefruit and citrus salad in 100% juice. This product is processed via high-pressure pasteurization. It provides a different, really fresh-tasting quality product. The next item is Del Monte Fruit Crunch Parfaits. These are non-dairy coconut cream parfaits featuring crunchy granola and a full serving of fruit. We're getting a lot of positive reception on these products across channels. And frozen, we're excited to announce the launch of Del Monte Vegetable Bites and Contadina Pizzettas. These are frozen snacks made with cauliflower crust, which is a very popular trend in the U.S. There's a full serving of vegetables in these products in just five bites, and they're being accepted with a lot of interest across the U.S. retail trade currently. Slide 21, just a little more background around the Fruit & Oats selection as new product of the year in the breakfast category and the national exposure that we're receiving for that accolade, as well as our collagen bone broth growth. We're seeing some positive share growth there and surpassing some key competitors in this high-growth, high-margin business that we're excited to be participating in. Slide 22 talks about really what I mentioned earlier is about investing in our brands. These are some of our U.S. retail marketing highlights and investments. We successfully launched a master brand campaign this year, Del Monte Growers of Good. That's television and online video. We're bringing that campaign in-store as well through some FSI work and in-store signage, really continuing to promote our traditional holiday recipes, but also introducing a number of new ways to use our products. As we look at our 100% juice fruit cup snacks, promoting that line and really emphasizing the points of difference that we now have over the competition in this space via print and FSI work and some digital work to support certainly our new products as well as social media. We have invested in advertising the Contadina brand this year for the first time in over a decade. We are very interested in the potential of this line in the Italian foods category and excited to be out spreading the message about the Contadina products and their key points of difference. Collagen is another area we continue to support through FSIs and digital solutions and promotions, and are continuing to see some promise with this brand, especially around innovation. Slide 23 is a brief look at food service, which is something I'm very excited about. We have a new nationwide selling organization and marketing team that's out meeting with food service customers around the U.S. We're seeing some great success as we look at the vending opportunities that we have. We're seeing great success in college and universities, healthcare, and lodging. These customers in these channels are looking for healthy, better-for-you products, and they're looking for brands that can connect with consumers. So we're pleased with the efforts being made there. One of our new successes is with Aramark, who's a very big distributor across the food service industry, where we've received authorization to carry our new grab-and-go fruit and chia, Fruit & Oats, and fruit cup products across college campuses and convenience stores. And this is really the beginning of what we're going to build as a very significant part of our revenue base is our U.S. food service business. And with that, I will transition the presentation to Mr. Cito Alejandro.
Thank you, Greg. Turning now to slide 24, I'll start with the Philippines. As you can see, Del Monte remains the market leader across all our categories, namely packaged pineapple, canned mixed fruit, canned and carton juices, tomato sauce, and spaghetti sauce. And our goal is to further expand growth via two key strategies. First is strengthening our core business through product improvements to enhance product superiority, increasing consumption among current users as well as recruiting new users. The second strategy is to pursue innovation and new products for existing and emerging trade channels. Going now to slide 25, as you can see here, our third quarter sales were down 6% in peso terms, but down 10% in dollar terms due to the peso depreciation. And the key issue we're now facing is the decline in the general trade business that accounts for 65% of our total Philippine business. And the reason for this is because of the operational issues that we have encountered among several of our distributors. And on the right side, it just captures what we've been doing to strengthen our general trade distributors. Number one is making sure that we upgrade our distributor core processes, and we're actually reviewing the key performance indicators to instill greater excellence in execution. Second is increasing store coverage and distribution. Third is we have also assessed our current distributors, and we are changing a couple of them. We're actually changing five distributors. This will be in place in the next 2 months, so that by the start of the new fiscal year 20, we will be up and running. We have changed five that account for 30% of the general trade business. And lastly, transforming to high-performing team through mentoring, standard cadence, clear measures of productivity and recognition scheme to improve collaboration. Page 26, this just captures all of the efforts we're doing across all our three categories, fruits, culinary, and beverage. They're actually all in the areas of recipe development to increase consumption, product sampling, peak season gifting and Christmas value packs, continuously airing TV advertising on our core beverage brands, and sustained aggressive digital ads. Interestingly, the next page on Philippine Market Quick Service Restaurants, we have registered strong double-digit growth in this segment through several of our key customers, McDonald's, the Jollibee Group, Bonchon, and Kenny Rogers. And if you will take a look at the bottom part of the chart, that essentially explains the strategy that we have adopted, is to include our products in their menu mapping. For example, for fries, we have our ketchup. For chicken, we're now going to introduce a gravy and a breading mix for them. For the burgers, we market our pineapple slice. For pasta, we've got our pasta and pasta sauce. And for pizza, we offer them our pineapple tidbits and our pizza sauce. This has proven to be very effective in driving growth and consumption, and as well as recognition of the Del Monte brand. Next page is more on the convenience stores. Again, this is a growing channel in the Philippines, strong double-digit growth along 7-Eleven, Family Mart, Lawson's, and the others. No? And if you look at the bottom part, we have generated growth through, I would call, like the meal zone, the chilled zone of the store, the grab-and-go section, the top-up zone, and the impulse zone, meaning seasonal treats. We have participated in these five segments of the store that really drive their transaction. Next page, again, talks more about the convenience stores. Just to amplify that, in the convenience store right now, there's a lot of meals that are bought across all convenience stores, even 7-Eleven. So in the same way that we do menu inclusion mapping in the quick service restaurants, we have also done that for the convenience stores. Next page is I would like to bring your attention to some of the recognitions that we've had in the Philippine market of late. One is the latest rank of Asia, top 100 brands. Del Monte ranked among the top 20 brands, actually the Del Monte brand. And there were only two other food and beverage brands that were ranked among the top. One of them is Coke, and the other one is Nestle. And then, of course, for our plastic can packaging. We now sell in North Asia and also in France. No, we won the gold award, the Philippine Star Packaging Excellence, for Pearson as the packaging innovation of the year. Next page is the Del Monte Kitchenomics, which is a key driver of consumer engagement with the Del Monte brand. We now have a 3 million strong community on Facebook, where we also feature recipe videos housed on YouTube, and we also have a recipe on our consumer site. And we also have one of the highest branded cooking segments on TV in one of the country's biggest networks. So this has been an important part of the growth of Del Monte, and we continue to leverage this, and we believe that this is a unique part of the brand which other competitive brands do not have. Slide 32 again talks of just a show of our, what we call our inflation busters. These are the packs, the value packs that we have launched to drive consumption in a high inflationary environment. And these have been supported by discounted multi-packs in the trade that drive pantry loading and systems usage. Page 33, I will now go to S&W. S&W continues to be our shining star. It continues to expand its Sweet 16 Fresh Pineapple, and e-commerce and digital are growing with North Asia having the largest share of e-commerce pie, and S&W is actively developing this market. Page 34 talks more about S&W. The business improved by 19% in the third quarter due to strong sales of fresh pineapple in North Asia, and we delivered a much higher operating margin, up six percentage points due to better sales mix. Slide 35, again, talks more of the in-market initiatives of S&W, this one featuring our promotions during Chinese New Year in Singapore. Slide 36, I just want to bring your attention to the great partnerships that S&W has had with other brands in other geographies, and this has led to accelerating S&W penetration into the markets. First is our co-branding with China's number one player, Good Farmer, which has gotten us the number two position of fresh pineapple in China. The second is Japan, co-branding with Farmind, Japan's leading fresh player. In South Korea, we have partnered with CJ's Freshway, South Korea's biggest food service player, and Wonin, largest fresh cut player. And finally, in France, we have co-branded with France's leading food processor, Saint Mamet. And this initiative has brought us to the top three processed pineapple brands in France. Page 37, I want to update you on our joint venture with Nice Fruit of Spain. We brought this up in previous review. Most popular product right now is a pineapple stick, where we sold about 4 million pieces last year to 7-Eleven in Japan through Kanematsu, which is their trading house that services them. And this actually pineapple stick has really grown in popularity, and we're pursuing this right now and through next fiscal year. The next page, page 38, it talks about the pineapple stick. We have it in under the S&W brand. Wow is our nice fruit brand in Europe and the Middle East, and in China, Hong Kong, we've got the Joywin brand. Both. In individual packs and in carton packs, though, where we have about six of the sticks packed in that carton. Finally, want to update you on India. So, Field Press sales is up in the third quarter by 8% due to higher Del Monte packaged product sales. We continue to be profitable in India. below are just some of the things that have been done over the in different channels. 50,000 people. And page 40 just details to you, shows some of the sampling activities we've done on our Field Fresh brands. And this has been effective in driving consumer acceptance, consumer awareness of the product, and also trial. I now turn you over to Iggy on sustainability.
Thank you, Sito. On page 41, improving sustainability is one of our five pillars, supporting our vision, nourishing families, enriching lives every day. We published our maiden sustainability report last October, and this was shortlisted by the Asia Sustainability Reporting Awards as Asia's best first-time sustainability report among eight companies listed in Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, and India. And following that, we also published a sustainability report, more focused on our U.S. business here with the MFI in the U.S. Last January. And we've just detailed a few other initiatives of the MFI in the U.S. and Del Monte Philippines across the Sustainability Packaging Coalition, recycled labels, power efficiency program, including renewable energy, as well as water treatment. Page 42, so the Multi-Pacific Group continues to be strongly committed to improve cash flow, deliver the balance sheet and interest, and reduce interest expense. That continues to be the priority of it. You will note we raised $300 million from our two preference share tranches in 2017 to pay down debt. And in the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2018 and the first quarter of this year, fiscal year 2019, DMPL purchased $225 million out of the total $260 million second lien loans of DMFI in the secondary market. Because of that, we have reduced our gearing to 2.5 times equity as of the end of January, which is the end of the third, from 2.7 times prior year. And as far as earlier, the lower inventory of the MFI in the U.S. also contributed to the lower borrowing level. So finally, on page 43, just to recap, we expect the Monte Pacific Group to be profitable in fiscal year 2019. We are now in the fourth quarter and will close the year this April. We'll continue to respond to consumer trends by strengthening the core business and innovating, especially outside the can. In the market, Tito has discussed for the Philippine market, as well as the S&W markets we have in different countries, as well as Field Fresh in India. We will continue to focus on growing our branded business and improve financial performance through a review of our manufacturing and distribution footprint in the U.S., another important priority we have in this market, to improve operational efficiency, reduce costs, and increase margins. So we are committed to improving cash flow, strengthening the balance sheet, and reducing leverage and interest expense. So that recaps our third quarter results. Ending January, we would now like to open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Hi guys, can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
My question is for Greg on the U.S. business. Just want to understand a couple of things. One is there was we understand that the business was trying to raise prices after a long time in the U.S. Starting February. How has that played out, have you seen any early signs of demand being unaffected by the raised prices? And my second question is just on the U.S. EBITDA. When I just compare your MD&A to see the Q3 EBITDA for this year was about 11.5, adjusted for the one-offs. Last year, it was about 15.2. So just want to clarify your statement of EBITDA being up in the U.S. year on year.
Sure. First, you know, we embarked on raising prices early in the year. We set out in May with a significant reduction in our trade promotion investment, and quite a bit of that was geared at eliminating trade promotion that was used to fund some everyday low pricing in the marketplace. So we essentially raised our pricing back in May for the first time in a very long time, and we did it again in February on February 1st with a 10% list price increase on our core canned vegetable and fruit business. We're pleased with our performance throughout the year. In light of those changes in pricing, we had a very strong holiday this year with significantly less trade promotion and price promotion and discounting relative to historical norms. One of the shining stars is our Del Monte canned vegetable business. That's our biggest business. And that's really proven to be pretty resilient. Without the deep discounts and lower pricing, consumers are still gravitating to that brand, and it's really a testament to the power of the brand. I'd also add that in most of the large retail customers in the U.S. market over the past couple of years, we've had an initiative to really help consolidate brands. So in most cases, it's the Del Monte brand and private label in some of these categories like vegetables. And the consumer is still willing to pay a premium to buy our products over private label, and we feel pretty good about those results. Your second question relative to EBITDA, I think we're referring to GAAP accounting, and we're not reflecting the one-time variances a year ago in EBITDA for the quarter. So year over year, in U.S. GAAP accounting standards, our EBITDA did increase.
Just to build on that, you're right on your observation. IFRS basis, we are at 11.5 versus 15.2 without considering the adjustments or the one-off costs. Would like to just highlight that there is a margin improvement of 190 basis points on our results, and that's pretty much a reflection of lower trade spend and improved mix, as we outlined. There is a little bit of noise quarter on quarter on our variable distribution costs. If you exclude that, our EBITDA or profit performance would be at par versus last year.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hello, Elsie from DBS. Just a few questions from me. Could you give us an update first on your receivables on Del Monte Philippines? What has transpired during the quarter? I know you have unwind some amounts from the U.S. My second question would be on your change in your distributors in your general trade channels in the Philippines. Can you give us more details on that? Third question is your one-off seems to be pretty flat this quarter. Are they done or are you expecting more one-offs going forward? Yeah. So these are three questions I have. Thanks.
Okay. First
one is on the receivables of
okay.
TPI.
So the question on receivables, we were overall our receivables from to DMPI were slightly lower than the last quarter. We were more like 12.8 5 billion pesos, if I recollect it, versus 12.8 billion at the end of Q2. So some improvement was made, but not significant. Definitely our receivables from the U.S. have gone down to GTL. We continue to work on it and get better at it. And then I'll take
the change in distributors.
Last question.
On the one-off.
On the one-offs, yes, our one-offs from the U.S. are much better. We do not expect a lot of one-off costs at this moment unless until there is a strategic initiative that drives it. So at this point, we are not expecting anything of a material magnitude.
On your question on distributors, I just want to give you a further perspective on that. We right now have 18 distributors in the Philippines spread all over from north, central Philippines, and south of the Philippines. These distributors maintain their own sales force. They take our inventory. They have their own delivery trucks. They have their own monitoring system. And the people that they hire are qualified by us too. No? So out of the 18 distributors, we are changing 5 of them. 2 will be in Metro Manila, GMA. There is 1 in north of Manila, 1 in south of Manila, and the last one is in an island called Cebu in the Visayas. All the distributors have been appointed. We are now in the process of starting up the businesses in their respective areas. They are now transitioning from the old distributors, taking a look at all the accounts. So we expect that they are actually in full gear right now. So March and April will be months they will be stabilizing things and selling in more product into the to the stores. And they should be all geared up by the time that we start our new fiscal year 2020 by May of this year. So that's the status.
Yeah, so just a follow-up. Can I say that your Philippines business will continue to remain weak until these guys are in place and starting up?
I think the last quarter will be more of a transition, this last quarter, yes. Will still be some experience, some transition issues, not really weakness of the business, no, but more of operational issues. So we expect that the first quarter of the fiscal year, give or take 3 to 6 months, that will be the time that we should be seeing the gains from these distributor changes.
Okay, but what is so bad about the distributors that you need to effect a change?
Well, first of all, is they're not able to deliver their sell-out numbers. They're not covering the trade, you know. They have poor customer service levels to the accounts. Some of the accounts have complained about them already. And you might ask, how come they turned bad, no? Well, a host of other things, no. Some, there was one distributor who got sick and who could not attend to the business anymore. There was another distributor that got all the money and invested in another business that could no longer put in capital in our own business. So we have a host of those issues that have plagued us, and we're right now remedying them.
Okay, understand. So back to Parag, regarding the trade receivables, are you kind of holding the receivables at 12 billion right now and not looking to do anything further?
I think it would pretty much hover around 11 to 12 billion to answer your question before we really address the issue through an IPO or private placement.
Yeah. Okay. So the last question is just need your confirmation that the one-off, you're largely done in the U.S.
Yes, there is no material cost that we expect to incur of a one-off nature. unless and until there is something very strategic that takes place.
Okay. So all the surveillance that you're doing has been done, and all the closures that you wanted to do has been done, right?
I won't say they are done. As we have communicated in our strategy, we are evaluating it, but there is no board of approval yet to proceed with any of the proposals that might be on the table.
Oh, okay. So subject to new approvals and initiatives, right?
So we are evaluating options, and once we are more clear on it, obviously those will be announced in the quarter when we have more firm clarity on that.
Okay. Can we understand how many more plants are there in the pipeline just under evaluation?
I think at this point of time we would not try and provide any speculative kind of guidance around that. This is more internal. Once we have more clarity and approval from our leadership and the board, we will announce the same.
Okay, understand. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Are there any other questions? If there are no other questions, we'd like to thank you for joining us. This concludes our conference call. Thank you.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 5 minutes.